Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Holver Alley Crew, a Streets of Maradane novel, by Marshall Ryan Maresca, narrated by Dan Kelly. Chapter 1. Asti Reinax couldn't sleep. The bedroll wasn't the problem. He'd spent plenty of nights in jail cells, road ditches, even trapped inside a wooden crate. The problem was sleeping on a hot wooden floor in the single-room flop, his younger brother, brother's wife and crying baby just 10 feet away behind a thin cloth. He craved his own flop, his own space, without families, babies or smoke. Smoke. Asti sat up, smelling the air. Definitely smoke. And not from the oil lamps. Asti sprang to his feet.
Versi, wake up.
What? What is it?
Smoke.
Versi was out of the bed, crossing over to Asti in a flash, despite being naked. Asti's eyes went to the slight paunch his brother was getting. Married life was taking its toll on his normally lean body.
You're right.
It's just the Greenfields kitchen,
Rach mumbled from the bed.
No, it's too strong,
Asti said. He glanced back at Versi.
Put something on.
Versi waved him off, taking another smell.
That's too strong.
Asti touched the door. It was warm. Cautiously, he cracked it open. The hallway glowed with crackling flames. He dashed back over to the kitchen and grabbed the bedroll and blanket.
Blasted saints,
Versi muttered.
Rach, wake up.
What?
Get up. Get the baby.
Each word was like an arrow. Versi grabbed his pants off the back of a chair and pulled them on. Asti held the blanket over his face. In the hallway, the flames were licking up the walls and ceiling, wooden support beams already cracking. Asti swung the bedroll at the fire, beating it down. Useless. The smoke was getting thicker, the fire hotter, despite his efforts.
Can you get to the stairs?
Versi called. Asti pushed forward. The stairs leading outside were only 8 steps away. 8 impossible steps. He could race past the fire to reach them if he went right this moment. The stairway was engulfed, but he could leap down the flight. He would reach the bottom with a few singes and roll on the ground when he landed, snuffing out his clothes if they caught flame on the way down. He could do it and be outside and safe in 7 seconds. He imagined the whole plan in an instant, his body tensing in anticipation. Percy could do it too if he called out, told him to run, to go now. Rach and the baby could never make it. He beat down the instinct to run.
No chance,
Asti replied. The fire filled the hallway, racing along to block him from the apartment door. Lungs and eyes burning, he beat a clear path back and slammed the door shut.
How bad is it?
Rach asked. She was out of bed, wrapped in a loose dressing gown, caramel hair framing her pretty face, with the baby clutched to her. Asti could barely speak through hacking coughs.
Very,
was all he managed. He shoved the bedroll under the crack in the door, blocking the smoke that was starting to pour in.
How are we going to get out then?
She asked. Her voice cracked with fear. Asti didn't answer, but he heard a slight snort from his brother. Percy covered it with a cough, but Asti knew exactly why he laughed. Percy never walked into a room without immediately finding every way to get out. Percy went over to the trunk by the bed and opened it up. While he rummaged through it, Asti pulled on a shirt and boots and grabbed his pack. Everything in the apartment that he owned was in the pack.
Plan?
He asked Versi.
That window,
Versi said, pointing to the one by the stove.
But not yet.
He pulled out an empty pack from the trunk.
Versi, what are we?
Rach started. Versi tossed the empty pack to Asti as he went over to Rach.
Give me Corsi and get dressed, he said. We have to move quickly.
Quickly?
She looked stunned, but relinquished the baby to Versi.
Put that on, Asti,
Versi said, crossing over to the kitchen with the baby.
Wear it across your chest.
Asti did it, and Versi put his son into the pack. He tightened the straps on the side so the baby was snug, close against Asti's body.
Versi Reinax, what the blazes are you doing?
Rach asked, pulling on a cotton dress.
Keeping our son safe, Versi said. He turned to Asti. Get the window open and get out there.
If you think I'm going to let my baby...
Versi went back to the trunk.
We need to climb down from the window, Rach. You can't do that while carrying him. He pulled on a shirt and grabbed another pack.
Then you carry him.
I'll be helping you, love, Versi said. He threw a few more things into the pack. Smoke was filling the room. No time to argue. Asti went out the window. There was a slight ledge, only a few inches, just enough for him to stand on. Above him, there was only smoke and darkness. He knew both moons were roughly half full, but he couldn't see them. The street below was chaotic, people shouting and pointing, running around in their nightclothes while the fire crackled all around. Directly below him was the canvas awning of Greenfield's locksmith shop, stretched wide and tight.
Awning, slide, street?
Asti called to Versi.
Right, Versi said. Move.
Hold on, little man,
Asti said, rubbing the head of the baby. For his part, he was quiet, his big blue eyes staring up at Asti. Asti sat down on the ledge, his feet a short drop from the top of the awning. Keeping one hand on the ledge, he dropped off, using his arm to keep his full weight from hitting the awning. Once his body was on the canvas, he let go, sliding down over the lip of it. A second later, his boots hit the dirt. He stumbled forward, almost needing to fall into a roll, but he clutched at the baby and lurched backward, keeping his balance. Several people on the street cried and cheered. Up on the ledge, Rach cried,
I'm going to break my neck if I do that.
No, you won't, Versi said.
Asti looked back at the building. The whole place was on fire, smoke pouring out the windows. Versi lowered his wife onto the awning. Her eyes were locked on Asti, focused on the bundle strapped to his chest. Asti looked at the baby again, who was gurgling and smiling.
He's fine, Rach, come on.
Asti held out a hand, though he knew it was a meaningless gesture. Versi stretched out, easing Rach down the awning until she was as far as he could get her without stepping on the awning himself.
Ready?
Versi called.
Do it,
she said. He let go of her hand and she slid off to the ground. Her landing was sloppy, almost falling on her face before Asti caught her. Rach gasped and clutched at Asti. A moment later, she was fumbling at the straps, desperate to get the baby out of his pack. Versi slid down, landing on the ground with practiced grace.
That's the whole place, Asti said.
The locksmith shop and the apartments above it were all burning. The shop next door was burning as well, and the one next to it. The fire spread down Hulver Alley as far as Asti could see. Every building was wood and plaster, pressed next to each other, nothing to stop it all from catching. An old man grabbed Asti's shoulder.
Look at that, Rhinex. That's magic fire, isn't it? Has to be.
No, no, he said,
coming up with an answer that was somewhere between fabrication and gut instinct.
Magical fire always burns hotter with blue and white flames.
Asti knew hardly anything about magic, but that was more than anyone else in Hulver Alley. His word might be enough to quell wild rumours about mages starting this.
Where's Wynne?
Versi asked, looking around the crowd.
And the girls?
Asti glanced about. Winthim Greenfield wasn't anywhere, nor were his wife and daughters.
Did they get out on the other side?
Rach asked, holding her baby close to her chest.
No chance, Versi said.
Asti knew the question was ridiculous, but bit his tongue. Greenfield's shop was built right up against a solid brick wall, the back of the row houses on Kenner Street.
They must be trapped, Asti said.
The shop windows were dark, covered in iron bars. No way to see in or break through. Asti touched the door of the shop. It was still cool.
Asti, what are you doing?
Rach cried. Asti tried the door, but it was locked. Of course it would be.
Versi, can you?
He called out, but his brother was already at his side. Versi looked at the lock carefully.
Wind's very good, he muttered. It would take me at least 5 minutes.
No time for that,
Asti said. He scanned the crowd. Rach was in the center of his vision, screaming at them. Far behind her, towering over the crowd, was just the person he was hoping to find. Julian Kesser, the biggest bruiser on Hulver Alley.
Julian, he called.
The big man pushed his way through the crowd, Asti meeting him partway.
You all right, Jules? Your house all right?
No,
Julian said, his wide, sad face covered in ash and soot.
I'm sorry, Julian, Asti said. Wynne Grimfield and his family are still trapped.
Julian nodded and charged without further prodding. Percy scrambled out of the way as Julian smashed his shoulder into the door. It splintered and cracked.
Asti Ranax, what in the name of the blasted saints do you think you're doing?
Helene Kesser, Julian's cousin, had come up right behind him, grabbing his wrist tightly. Her face and nightclothes were covered in ashes, black hair a tangled mess, and bare arms scraped and bleeding.
I barely got Jules out of our house. Don't you dare have him.
I just need the door open, Asti said.
He glanced over at Rach, still crying at Versi to come away from the burning building.
Keep everyone else out, Hel, especially Versi. How the blazes?
Just do it, Asti said.
He took off his pack and handed it to Helen. Without another word, he pulled a cloak out and took it to the well spigot nearest Greenfield's shop. He pumped it hard, but only a trickle of water came out. While he was doing that, Julian broke the door off its hinges with a loud crunch. Smoke poured out through the open frame. Asti took a deep breath, put on the damp cloak, and ran into the shop. He could hear Helen yelling from outside, telling Julian not to go in after him. Asti couldn't see anything. Thick smoke filled the shop. Eyes shut, cloak over his face, he went by memory to the back counter. He didn't need to see to find his way. It was 5 steps straight and then 3 to the right to the door leading to Wynne's workshop.
Wynne, he called out.
He could barely hear his own voice over the roar of fire. Blindly, he found the door to the back room and gave a silent prayer that it would be unlocked. He pushed his way in and tripped over something on the ground. The fire blazed throughout the workshop, but on the floor, the smoke was thinner. He had tripped over Greenfield's body. Winthim lay flat on his face, breathing shallowly. Asti shook him.
Wynne, come on.
Asti shook him again, but he didn't wake. Through the smoke, a hand touched Asti on the shoulder. Versi came crawling in, stopping right in front of Wynne's body.
What are you doing?
Asti shouted at his brother.
Same as you,
Versi said. The ceiling crackled and creaked above them.
Fine, you get him out, I'll...
You're nothing.
Percy pointed at the stairway to the Greenfields' rooms, blocked by the fire.
You can't get up there.
Get him out. Maybe I can...
He got to his feet.
There's no chance, Asti.
Percy yanked him back down. A moment later, the ceiling came crashing down in the middle of the workroom, bringing fresh flames from above. One timber knocked Asti on the arm. Percy grabbed the damp cloak and beat out the fire on Asti's sleeve.
We can't leave them.
Asti shouted over the screaming blaze.
No one is alive up there. We need to get out now.
But help me.
Percy draped Wynne over his shoulder, and Asti did the same on the other side. They traced the steps through the black smoke, back out to the street. Julian came over and took Greenfield from them. They all hurried away from the blaze, dropping to their knees once they were clear. Asti took several deep breaths of sweet, cool air, while Versi hacked and wheezed next to him.
Percy Rhinax, how dare you?
Rach started.
I'm fine, Rach, Percy said, even if his cough belied that.
He reached up and cupped her face tenderly. Her eyes welled up with tears.
You are not fine. That was a stupid, reckless...
I'm fine as well, you know,
Asti said. He left his brother and went to where Julian had laid Greenfield on the ground. Asti knelt down and touched Wynne's head and chest.
What do you think, Rhinax?
Helen said, hovering over him.
He'll probably have a blazes of a cough, but I think he'll live,
Asti said. He looked back up. Every shop and house on the east side of Hulver Alley was on fire now. Their shop was on the east side.
Where is the blasted fire brigade?
Asti muttered.
Don't know,
Helen said.
Don't think we can count on them now, can we?
Right, Asti said. The crowd stood staring at the fire, people screaming or crying, but no one doing a blasted thing.
Julian, take Wynne to Kimber's pub over on Frost. Doc Gelson is usually deep in the cider over there all night. Hell, don't think you can order me and my cousin around, Ranax,
Helen said, emphasizing her point by shoving his pack back in his hands.
I'm not ordering, Helen, Asti snapped at her. I'm asking for help. Asking sounds a lot different. Blasted damn saints, hell, the whole alley is burning down.
Asti's guts were churning. He fought down the bile, forcing its way up his throat. Helen grit her teeth.
What you want, Rhinax?
Get people away from the fire.
he said. Make sure Rach goes.
I'm not going to be your blasted running girl, Asti, Helen said. You know I'm worth more than that.
I know, Asti said, but I don't need you putting an arrow in anyone tonight. Not yet, anyhow.
Right, Helen said.
Julian had Wynne picked up in his massive arms, looking to his cousin for her cue.
If you do, though, she let it hang there.
Wouldn't call on anyone else. Helen nodded and went into the crowd, telling people to head over to Frost. People started shuffling away. Asti went back to Versi and Rach.
Rach, get out of here. Go over to your sisters, Asti said.
Come on, brother.
Where are you going?
She asked him, grabbing her husband by the arm.
We've got a shop down on the other end, in case you forgot, Asti said.
Versi nodded, touching Rach's hand.
Every crown we have is put in there.
Right,
she said, resigned. She glanced back over to the locksmith shop, now completely ablaze.
Don't do anything else so stupid as that, though.
I'll do all the stupid things, Asti said. Come on. He raced down the alley. His brother was right at his heels. He didn't need to look behind to know. He could feel it. Holver Alley was a quarter mile long. If Asti ran full tilt, he could cross it in a minute. With the panicked crowd, the flames, the choking smoke, Asti had to fight for every step. Every shop, every home, every building on the east side of the alley was on fire. Asti almost tripped over Mrs. Hoskins, who sat on the dirt with her grandchildren, all wailing and screaming while their house burned. Jared School, the butcher, was held back by three others while he desperately clawed towards his shop and house. His children were nowhere to be seen. A dark-haired street girl stood in the middle of the road, staring blankly up at the conflagration.
Asti, Versi shouted.
He pointed to a wrought iron balcony three flights up. Hexie Matlin, the crazy fortune-teller, trembled with her little dog clutched to her chest. The fire raged inside her flop, trapping her. She cried out for help, panic cracking her voice.
We have to go, Asti started.
Asti,
Versi didn't need to say anything else. It was all in his face. Hexie had been a good friend to their mother. They had known her all their lives.
Fine, Asti said, but I promised your wife I'd do the stupid things.
I'm the better climber, Versi said.
Then figure out how I'm getting her down. Asti gave a quick point up to Hexie's balcony and then to the barbershop on the other side of the alley. With two quick bounds, he was up on the doorframe of the barbershop and then scrambling up the windows, finding whatever handholds he could. He reached the roof 40 feet above the alley. From up here, he would normally be able to see most of the city of Meridane, or at least the west side. But now smoke filled his vision, obscuring even the view of the North Selleth neighbourhood. He could still see the alley below, the balcony across, and Hexie's panicked face. Versi came up over the edge of the roof, quickly getting his pack off.
I told you to stay down there.
You told me to not do anything stupid.
He pulled out a rope and a gear and pulley device from the pack.
Trust me, I'm leaving that to you.
He tossed one end of the rope to Asti.
What's the plan?
Asti asked.
You know damn well what the plan is, Versi said. Like the gig for Tolman 5 years ago.
Right.
Asti hated that gig. He tied the rope around his waist and dropped his pack. He darted over to the far end of the roof.
This is the dumbest thing I've done in a long time.
At least a month, Versi said.
He held on to his end of the rope.
Go.
Asti dashed across the roof and leaped off, sailing across the alley. A second later, he crashed onto the balcony next to Hexie's.
You missed, Versi shouted from the rooftop.
Shut it.
Asti climbed up on the rail of his balcony, the metal creaking under him. He jumped the few feet over to Hexie, who screamed when he landed. The balcony shuddered with his weight.
Get me out of here,
she cried.
That's the plan,
he said, untying the rope from his waist. The balcony buckled again.
Hurry,
she clutched her dog tighter. I really am going as fast as I can, he said. He stood behind her, wrapping the rope around the both of them as he held her tight.
Now, Asti.
Yes, ma'am,
he said. A loud crack came from behind them, and the balcony came loose on one side. The two of them lurched, and Hexie screamed again. Asti saw Versi working frantically with his device. He threaded the rope through it, and then cored it around his waist.
Blessed saints, forgive me my sins,
Hexie cried. You think you'd have seen this coming, Hexie? Asti said. He wrapped his arms around her. The rope pulled taut from Versi cranking the gears on his device.
I couldn't,
Hexie stammered out. The balcony was about to give way. No more time. Versi, now, Asti shouted, and he jumped. The balcony collapsed, crashing down to the alley below, onlookers scattering to avoid being crushed. Versi jumped over the ledge at the same time. He drifted down while Asti and Hexie shot up, flying across the alley. Asti braced himself, both feet hitting the brick wall of the building with a hard sting. Hexie and her dog both cried out, but they seemed unhurt.
Oh, blessed saints,
Hexie whispered. Asti looked down to the ground. Versi started uncoiling the rope, controlling Asti and Hexie's descent. His hands worked quickly, his arms straining, until they reached the ground safely. As soon as their feet made contact, Asti let her go, untying the rope around them. She collapsed to the ground, still giving prayers, her little dog running in crazy circles around her.
Catch it worked this time, Asti said as he freed himself from the rope.
Of course it did, Versi swiped back. He bent over Hexie. Safe and sound, Mrs. Matlin.
Thank you, blessed saints,
she said.
Oh, thank you, boys. Your mother would be so proud of you.
It was nothing, Versi said with a smile.
It was nothing for you, Asti said, elbowing his brother in the ribs.
He promised to do the stupid things, Versi said.
Stupid promise, Asti muttered. You all right now, Hexie? We have to check our shop.
I'm fine, boys,
she said unconvincingly. She looked around at the fire and madness surrounding them.
Our packs are still on the roof, Versi said.
Later, Asti muttered. He grabbed Versi's arm and pulled him down the alley. The Rhinax Gadgetarium hadn't even opened yet. Not one customer, not one sale. They had bought the shop less than a month ago and had been working on getting it fixed up enough to open. They had put down most every crown they had to buy the place from old Spence, but they still owed him quite a bit of silver. It wasn't a great bargain, but it was better than owing money to one of the ankle breakers in Keller Cove. Old Spence had let the place become a wreck, and it had taken a lot of work on their part to make it presentable. Asti had figured it would only be a couple more days before they could open. The flops above the store were still unlivable, but when the shop was open, they planned to clean and fix them so they could move in. The Rhinax Gadgetarium was nothing but a burning husk now, a handful of beams and stones in the rough skeleton of a building, the sad corpse of their plans. Percy stood agape in front of what had been their shop, not moving an inch as he stared at the smouldering remnants. Asti's blood boiled, a rush of mixed emotions, rage winning. It took a moment for Asti to realize there was a cry from inside Alma Court's chemist shop across the street from the Gadgetarium. Court's shop wasn't burning, but the door was broken open. Asti ran inside. Five young toughs were in the shop. Two of them held Court up against the wall, working him over. The other three were rifling through the shop, knocking over shelves and glass bottles.
Where's your lockbox?
One of them shouted. Asti charged right in at the two boys holding on to Court. His building rage finally had a target, five stupid faces for him to hit. He launched at the one he figured to be the leader of this gang, grabbing the hooligan about the waist and ripping him away from Court. That one dealt with for the moment. He kicked the other one in the knee. Run, Asti shouted to Court, who was still up against the wall, gasping for breath. Court managed to stumble to the door of his back room. Asti turned to the hooligans. Just a glance was all he needed to figure this bunch out. Street scrappers, every one, no real training. The closest two had knives. The other three, back by the shelves, didn't have any obvious weapons. Asti knew he didn't look too intimidating, given his short stature and wiry frame. If it wasn't for the layer of unshaven scruff on his face, they might think he was just a kid. Still, they hung back, each one waiting for someone else to pounce. Asti didn't give them a chance. Since he was unarmed, he went for the closest one, the one with two knives. Asti needed those knives. The kid held his guard up, tried to slash at Asti. Wasn't fast enough, and Asti dove in, taking the cuts on his arms. He gave two sharp punches at the kid's shoulders. Before the others could react, Asti grabbed him by the wrists and spun him around. The knives clattered to the ground. Asti was about to push the kid at the other armed one. Before he could, the hooligan swung back his head, cracking Asti's nose. Everything went red. Chapter 2. Percy didn't know how long he stood staring at the smouldering remains of his shop. He couldn't even wrap his head around what was lost. Tools, inventions, every crown they owned, every ounce of work they had put into it, all gone. Screams from Court's shop snapped Percy out of his reverie. Three boys ran out of the shop, screaming. They ran like they were on fire. They ran like death was after them. Asti wasn't next to him anymore. Percy hadn't noticed him leave. "Asti," Percy whispered, racing into the shop. Shelves were knocked over, bottles broken. The place was a wreck. A street boy was dead on the floor, two knives buried in his chest. Asti was on top of another one, pinning him to the ground with his knees while pummeling his face. There was no struggle, no resistance, just his brother pounding his fists into a senseless mass of blood and meat. Percy grabbed Asti's shoulder. Asti reacted instantly, spinning around and grabbing Percy by the throat. His face was twisted, covered in blood and ash, his eyes burning with empty rage. Percy clawed at his brother's hand, trying to get it free of his neck. Asti lifted him up off the ground. "As," was all Percy could gasp out. He battered at Asti's head, a futile effort. Asti wasn't letting go. Percy was about to black out. A hand appeared from nowhere and smeared a paste under Asti's nose. A moment later, Asti went limp and crumpled to the ground. Percy managed to land on his feet, woozy but stable. Alma Court was standing there, a small man with a thick, graying beard and wide spectacles. He wiped off his finger on the front of his leather apron. "You all right?" Court asked. Schooling had blunted his West Meridane accent, but not eliminated it. "Think so," Percy said. "How long will he be out?" "A few minutes." Court pulled out a handkerchief and wiped the gunk from Asti's face. "Shouldn't leave it there very long, though." "What happened?" "Some rats cracked into my shop," Court said. "They were roughing me up when he came in and..." Court looked at the two dead bodies on the floor of the shop. He just went crazy on them." "Yeah," Percy shook his head. "Blazes. Not again. Asti had been getting better. Not like this could make anyone snap. Court ought to buy that." "What's happening out there?" Court asked. "Fire," Percy said. "The whole east side of the alley."
"Fire brigade?"
"Haven't seen them yet," Percy said. "It's insane out there."
"It's insane in here," Court said, looking down at Asti.
"He going to go berserk when he comes to?"
"No."
Said it too quick. "Too suspicious. I don't think so, at any rate." Court picked up another bottle.
"He gets this in his face if he does."
"He'll be fine," Percy snapped. "Think you can do something about the fire?"
Court looked around at the broken shelves. "Nothing on a large scale. This building should be safe if the fire jumps across. Solid brick."
"Small comfort," Percy said. Asti groaned and stirred. "Hey, brother, you all right?"
Asti woke with a startled jerk. Eyes bulging, he clutched out and grabbed Percy's shirt.
"Percy," he said, looking around. "Where are we?"
"Court's shop," Percy said.
"When did we..."
Asti looked at his hands, covered with blood.
"Did I..."
He faltered, looking back at Percy.
"You did," Percy said. "Some street rats were hurting Alma, and you got rid of them."
"Not all of them,"
Asti said. The mutilated bodies were still lying on the ground near them. He sat up, burying his face in his hands.
"Places, brother. I don't know if I can go through this again."
"It's all right, Asti," Percy said, crouching down. "It's been a crazy night. Anyone could lose it, right? Anyone."
He signalled in Court's direction with his eyes. Asti didn't care.
"There's two dead bodies here, Percy. What are we going to do about that when constabulary comes?"
"I can take care of that,"
Court offered. He opened up one bottle and poured a light powder on top of the two bodies. They both started sizzling, the flesh burning away.
"We've got half the alley burning down. I can slip them into one of the burned buildings," Constabs won't be looking too hard at two more corpses in this mess. This mess is a...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?